What is up, podcast community? My name is Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Habits are everything, and on this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivated, and high-performing humans on the planet to learn about the daily habits, routines, and rituals that help keep them focused, determined, on top of their game, and ultimately, happy. My journey from the depths of addiction and misery to success as a family man and serial entrepreneur was only made possible by replacing bad habits with great ones, and my mission in life today is to share that story and the story of others with you to bring value and life-changing tools to as many people as possible. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear in this podcast today can potentially change your life. Let's go. Today, I've got a guy on the podcast that has left a mark on me physically, figuratively, and literally. Aaron Alejandrino, he's a men's lifestyle and transformative coach. He is an instructor and a co-founder of The Project, also known as the Modern Day Knights Project, which if you follow me, you know I have recently gone through and was life-changing. Aaron is also the co-founder of the Squire Program, which is a version of The Project. However, it is focused on father and son, sort of rite of passage, strengthening the bond between fathers and their sons, which I can't wait to do with my sons once they become of age to do it. I don't know if I can drop my four-year-old into an ice bath just yet, but potentially, I don't know. Let's see what Aaron's thoughts on that are. But I'm really excited to have Aaron on the show. You know, being on the journey that I've been on, you know, trying to find the better version of myself on a regular basis, enrolling in the Modern Day Knight Project for me was a massive step, and really wanted to see what I could uncover there. It wasn't for me about a physical feat. It was way more about lifting up rocks that I've potentially been scurrying around on the journey. So Aaron, man, welcome to the Creatures of Habit pod.
Man, thank you for having me, Michael. It's a pleasure to be a part of the brotherhood with you, and excited for this conversation all around habits. It's gonna be awesome.
The nature of the podcast is really about looking to people that have inspired me, that have inspired many others, understanding what makes them tick and the habits that they conduct on a regular basis to fulfill their lives. I know for sure for me that habits work two ways, right? There's really bad ones that will break you, and then there's really great ones that will make you. I've lived on both sides of the fence there. I've come through a bunch of stuff, and I know you have too. And so I would love to just get a little bit of a background. If you can just let the audience know who you are and how you ended up being the guy you are today.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. So I think that anybody that has done anything has lived on that side of the fence, good habits and bad habits. And those that develop some of the best habits typically develop the best habits because they had the worst habits at one point: drugs, alcohol, addiction, you know, some level of distraction, sedation, you know. So I think that, you know, one thing to touch on is that there are no perfect habits right out of the gate. You almost have to go and swing the pendulum to the other side first and foremost. And that's where I spent a big chunk of my time, majority of my youth and 20s, and making a whole bunch of bad habits and bad decisions. I'm blessed that I've made it this far in regards to having fitness as the background and always kind of keeping me on path. But my background up until this point, before we met each other, has been in the fitness space, men's fitness, online coaching, a brick and mortar gym owner. And I've just fallen in love with fitness. It's been the only place that I've been able to really find any sanity from the craziness inside the brain. And so
can I stop you there for a sec? I want to dig into that just a little bit, because I am similar to you in that fitness has certainly given me, has opened a door of success and happiness for me in all areas of my life. Why do you think fitness has been sort of the backbone of your ability to run, you know, conduct some means of stability and sanity?
The truth of the matter is, I believe that foundationally men need fitness to have any type of breakthroughs. We learn all of our lessons through the body. we are physical beings as much as we're spiritual beings. At the end of the day, we're running around in meat suits. That means we've got chemistry that is firing. We got dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, all that stuff. It means that we are chasing a feeling, and fitness allows us to make that feeling consistent. And so for me, fitness is the backbone of success, because you learn how to manage stress. You learn how to stay under pressure and tension. You learn the reps and sets, build muscles, and also ultimately create the acknowledgement that we want from the world. It gives us strength, gives us agility, gives us flexibility, and all that comes from the body. And without that, without the backbone of fitness, we would just be pleasure seeking creatures running around trying to get high all the time, running around trying to have sex all the time, running around just trying to rub up against something that felt good. And that's, I think that's really the foundation for men. Men need fitness. Otherwise, we're just going to get stuck in our head. We're going to be trying to think ourselves out of other problems. So, you know, I'm blessed because fitness is something that is so important. And you're an athlete too. So, you know, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for fitness, holy shit, man, we would be nightmares. We were creating so much chaos and trouble in the world.
So I derailed you there. Let's get back to the story.
Completely off topic on the topic of derailing, because I want to improve all my skill sets and lean into discomfort. I just signed up for a improv class to really lean into the fear that most humans have, because I believe most humans, especially men, they're trying to reach new levels of success and greatness. Like, you stepped into the project, you recognize that, oh my God, there's something that some of these psychopaths have that I want. Always challenging yourself. Fitness is a form of challenging. And as we master the fitness space, it's taking those same principles, the same applications, and taking it to other areas that intimidate us a little bit. So you might see me on stage at some point sharing some really bad jokes. But my background, man, my background has been in fitness. My mom stuck me in martial arts when I was 3 years old. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it gave me some guidance. It gave me some models. It gave me some rules. And it also gave me a lot of feedback in forms of combat sport. Martial arts, you're getting punched. You're getting hit. You're getting choked out. And so you learn very quickly that modesty and humility are really a foundation to being able to learn and to develop that white belt mindset. And that is one way that I've always looked at the world, is what can I learn from you rather than what can I teach to you? And that has been a foundation of background. It's really the thing that has kept me out of the majority of trouble. I still did plenty of things to get me into the shit. Because I was raised by a single mom and because I'm an only child, I didn't have the father figures and have the role models and have the masculine example of what it meant to be a man. And I really only got that from my teachers inside of martial arts. And not having a male role model, I'm sure we'll touch on this with the project and Squire and that conversation, but not having that for a young man growing up, you're going to make some poor choices and you're going to try to become the man that you see out in the world. And so I tried to attach myself to poor male role models, drugs, alcohol, chasing women, some level of drug dealing, because I thought it was cool and validated. And that was how I spent most of my 20s. And fitness always recalibrated, because it's really hard to work out when you're feeling hungover. And I'm blessed that about 10 years ago, fitness actually saved my life from the standpoint of, I was partying, I was struggling, I was repeating the same patterns of behavior, kept facing myself Sunday morning, like that Johnny Cash song, feeling like shit. And there was no way that I could hang my head that didn't hurt. And I was like, man, I'm going to end up just like my father figures, a deadbeat, a drug addict, and completely distracted from my purpose. And the only thing that made me feel good was fitness. At the time, it was CrossFit, then it was martial arts and boxing. And I realized that if I can do what makes me feel good, pull on that golden thread, there's a good chance that I can live the life that I see so many other people live in, where you see somebody that has something that you want. They've got the body, they got the business, they got the bank account, they got the beautiful woman. I thought, why can't I have that? I've got two arms, two legs. Surely I can develop the skills. And what I learned from fitness was that if I put in the reps, the sets, the time, the energy, the effort, the enthusiasm, and I do it consistently over time, I can truly build not only the body, but me as a human being. That's the story in a short version. What brought us together is the project. So 4 years ago, I got hired to launch a supplement company. And it was my first time being an employee after about 15 years of being an entrepreneur. Business was struggling. I was a gym owner, brick and mortar. It was my first big entrepreneurial venture. After 4 years, I had to close the business. I was just licking my wounds. I was feeling like I was failing in business, failing as a man all over again. But I had been through enough failure, enough feedback in life that I realized that this failure gets me a great learning lesson. What do I need to learn? I need to learn how to be a leader. I need to learn how to be a better man. And I need to learn how to be a better marketer. And I was like, who's got those things inside of the world that I can mentor and attach to? And so I started seeking mentors and I found a great one, Bedros Koulian. We know him. And him and I teamed up to launch a supplement company. Within about 3 months, man, we got deep. We were working out in the gym, again, a relationship built inside fitness, crushing some tricep pull downs. And I said, you know what, B, I came to work for you as an employee and I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. And the reason I did is because I love your story. You talked about the worst thing that ever happened to you, being molested. I was molested. This is the first time I ever had a conversation with a grown man talking about this. I want to live in a world where two grown ass men don't talk about the trauma, but they talk about the legacy they're leaving behind. How do we build that? How do we do that? And that's the reason I flew from Arizona to California, moved my entire life to come work for you, not only to help you launch this company, but I want to learn inside your business next to you. And I want to learn how to be a better leader, better man, and better marketer. And he said, man, that's a really deep question. I can't believe we went there after just a few months of knowing each other. Let's talk more about this. And that's how the project was formed. And the project started from a conversation between two guys that leaned into fitness as a background, but also leaned into healing. And it was born. It was literally born from that conversation. We whiteboarded it, wrote it out on a napkin. And 4 years later, now we've got a bunch of knuckleheads like you coming through, trusting us for 75 hours. And here we are.
There was a moment in our experience out there, and I think I don't think I'll ever forget it. Hopefully I won't. But there was something that happened to me probably about 40 hours into the project. And we were supposed to start with 25 men. Four men bailed out within 24 hours of showing up. So we started with 21, and all these guys were pretty tough dudes. You know what I mean? Like, they were big guys. Everybody was talking like, you know, we had made a pact and a commitment, you know, a month before we went to the project that we were not going to let anybody quit. And the interesting thing was that I remember at some of the, you know, the early quitters, you know, I wanted to see if there was an opportunity to get them back. Right. And I got some shit for that because I ran and tried to grab one of the guys that was about to ring the bell. You know, and so just for everybody listening, you know, this program, the project, is one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, more mentally than physically. And I'll get to that in a sec. But I was watching these guys drop like flies, and it was I couldn't believe it. I was in insane pain and tired and hungry and all those things. I just couldn't believe that people would quit. And what I learned was that there's two kinds of people. There are people that quit and there are people that don't. That's not to say that the quitters can't change, because I do believe that every single human being on the planet can change. And I think that's what the project is there for. I really do believe that. But there was a moment about 40 hours in, and one of the instructors, you know, walked up to me while I was on the ground, bloody, dragging myself over dirt, rocks and glass. And he basically leaned over and said, you know, we all know you're a specimen, but you haven't taken a fucking second to turn around and look at your team. Look at the guys that you're here with. You're in the front. Awesome. You want a fucking trophy? We all know that your fitness is strong. You're not paying attention to what your purpose is here. And that was really eye-opening to me, because I made a decision then and there to look at my selfish behavior and start thinking about the other things in my life that I have been less attentive to. That was pivotal for me. And then there was one other moment, and then I'll turn it back to you, because I want to get your morning routine and stuff like that. But there was another moment a little bit later on in the program. I was also on the ground in some former fashion. And I think you guys were trying to weed out the last of the week that were there. And so you just kept grinding us really hard, because I think, you know, and I could be wrong, but in the minds of you guys, I think you're like, there's still some guys here that we can get out physically. You know, there's still some guys that we can get out physically. Anyway, I made a decision there to flip the switch and completely detach myself from physical pain. And I will never forget that moment. I literally actually made a decision. I said, I am going to completely detach from physical pain, because I'm going to have to do this in life more than once. And if I can detach myself from physical pain, I can absolutely start to dig into the mental benefit of what I'm doing here. That was probably one of the biggest upheavals for me, was this idea that like pain is temporary. Pain is something that we're supposed to experience and go through. And if you allow pain to completely impact your decision-making process, your chances of success and living a dream that you actually want, that you envision, are slim to none, because it is going to involve an enormous amount of pain, both mentally and physically. That experience, man, I mean, it's so hard to describe what it was like out there. And I know that we don't talk about a lot of it, you know, but you know, last thing I'll say was you gave us this opportunity to pay attention to our breath. And I know that that's something that you are really an expert at. And we had to go through an evolution that was really scary, actually really scary. You gave us this breath exercise before we had to jump into that, actually jump in. And it helped me so much, man. I kind of breezed through that one. And then there was one last evolution towards the end, the very, very end, probably within 10 hours of being secured, that I was terrified at. I was actually terrified. I was hyperventilating. I remember that you taught us this breathing exercise, and I started to apply that breathing exercise. And actually, not only did I start to apply that breathing exercise, but I started to scream at the top of my lungs and smile and laugh. And I was able to completely change through a fucking roar. I was able to change my whole mentality. So anyway, man, what you are doing with the project, anybody who's listening who really wants to experience something and really dive deep into what it means to be alive.
Yeah, alive, right? You think about it at the end of the day, brother. Yeah, you have had success in fitness and finances. You got a beautiful family. I know you're a man of faith as well. Our four F-bombs: faith, fitness, family, finances. But so many men, even you, even me, have walked through the day being asleep. We walk through life completely gray as a motherfucking zombie, just waiting for what? Waiting for the best opportunity, waiting for the next big business thing, waiting for what? What the fuck are we waiting for? And we're sleeping through the best years of our life. What the project does, it violently, aggressively shakes you out of your sleep. It's like waking up from a bad dream. You realize, you look back, you come back to normal life. And I relive it with you guys every time, because my intensity level is so fucking, it's on edge when I come out of the project. I really have to dial back down, because I look at the rest of the world. I said, God damn, everyone is moving slow. You say you want more, you want a better business, better body, you want a better relationship, but you're being fucking passive. The project wakes you up from that passivity, where you realize, I can do anything. I went 75 hours with very little sleep, very little food, getting yelled at by a Navy SEAL, Marine, a SWAT operator. I got fucking the shit pissed and everything kicked out of me. All the confidence I thought I had in the beginning was nothing compared to how I felt after 75 hours. And you come back alive, woken up into your life to be able to be the creator for the first time in a lot of these guys' lives. They say, holy shit, I can actually do anything that I set my mind to. And that's one of the most beautiful gifts of transformation. We think about what we do at the project, what we do at the Squire program, the coaching as a whole. Our goal is to transform that former self so that you can live your best life. We're talking a lot about the project. I love the project. I'll talk about the project all fucking day long. It is my passion. It is my purpose. It is why we came together. I'm so grateful for that conversation we had 4 years ago. It was literally born, though. It was born out of habits. It was born because I want to bring it back to your thing. And I know that that's so important. I would never have had the courage to tell another man the worst thing that happened to me, to step into a gym and to step into a workout, have an open and honest conversation, be very authentic. I never would have gotten to where I was, where the catalyst for that conversation, the catalyst for this life-changing event happened, if it wasn't for my habits. Even though I had ups and downs and failures in business and struggles in life, and I was fighting through all my own demons and stuff, the only thing that calibrated me, kept me on path, was the fact that I did a handful of things very well. And they were my non-negotiables, which are your habits. Every successful person has to have 1, 2, 3, or 5 things they do every single day that gets them to the point where you can actually handle the stress. And I think one of the things we do in the project very well is show you that by changing your breath, which is a habit that we can all adopt, right? If we practice a different way of breathing, we can truly control the entire climate of a situation. Our only goal inside the project is to create stress and chaos, and we do it very well. We do it very well. We deliver fucking fire when it comes to creating and shaking the snow globe of the life you're normally in. The tools we teach you is that if you can control your inner state, which is essentially your habit, your way of thinking, your way of believing, your way of talking to yourself, that internal critic, you can control any outcome.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand. We launched the brand with a product called The Protagonist. It is a superhuman oatmeal. It is not just regular oatmeal. It is plant-based, dairy-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, packed with 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, probiotic, digestive enzymes, truly the best thing you can put in your body to kickstart your day. Used as a pre-workout meal or a post-workout meal. This is a meal, everybody. This is not a snack. This is a meal. It is perfect for on the go. Use promo code KOHPOD20, the number 20. That's KOHPOD20 at checkout when you pop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That is creatures with a K, creaturesofhabit.com. We appreciate you. We love you. And now on to the pod.
I'd love you to walk us through your morning routine, because I know that for me, my morning routine is a 17-part routine. It's very, very structured. It is, it's intense. I don't hit all 17 every single day, but I hit at least 12 to 13 of them. And I know that taking that time for myself is what sets me up for success on a daily basis. We get one day to fucking live. We're only guaranteed one. And so if you can make the fucking most of it, specifically in the hours of time that you can absolutely control, 4:30 in the morning till 6:30 in the morning, when the rest of the world starts waking up, you have a good chance of success. So why don't you walk us through your morning routine?
So my morning routine, there's five M's. So morning time, it just reminds me that there's four other M's I got to do. It's morning. I got four other M's. First M is meditation. I take some time in stillness and silence and quiet. Sometimes it's outside, sometimes inside, typically 15 minutes. I've been on a Joe Dispenza kick right now. He does a great guided meditation. And so I spend 15 minutes in that. And I'm sitting, I'm reflecting. I'm understanding that there is this space, a lucid space in our brain from when we dream to when we wake, when you can still weave in the golden thread and tap into consciousness. So meditation is the first part. Then it's mindset. It's something very intentional. I've got an open mind. I've got a clean slate where I can pour into. So I'm typically reading in that next spot. Mindset and writing. So I'm reading right now a book called Mastery by Robert Greene. Phenomenal book. I'm reading and I'm writing and taking notes, or I'm listening and I'm taking notes. I'm actually actively writing, journaling. Then it's movement. Movement is my third M. I'm moving the body. I am getting the blood flow going. Sometimes it's as quick as a 15-minute pump. I'm doing some jumping jacks. I've got a trampoline in the back. I'm doing some type of movement to get my energy very, very high. After I do those three M's, meditation, mindset, and movement, I'm getting motivated for something. And so typically that's where my posting comes. So I'll spend 60 minutes to 90 minutes writing content, blog, emails, whatever it is. A big part of what I do is creating content, connecting with those that are following the different channels that we're on. And so I'm writing. So I don't get to earn the opportunity to write anything motivational until I've done my other ones. I've always tried to switch it around. Like, I'm going to write content. I'm going to get my post done and sit down. And you're like, fuck, I have nothing. I can't tap into source. I can't tap into source, which means the rest of my day is going to be dog shit. And so for me, it's meditation. It's mindset. It's reading other people that have done great stuff. It's movement, getting the body moving, blood flow going. And then it's instant downloads. It's motivation. So my alarm is set for 5 a.m. on a perfect day. I wake up highly energized before my alarm clock, anywhere between 3:45 and 4, sometimes 4:30, but I let my body naturally wake up. If I'm not up by 5, if the alarm goes off at 5, I typically am, then I'm out the door by 5, drink the water in the morning, I'm setting into the morning routine. But for the most part, it's those four things. And I give myself some flexibility, because really at the end of the day, I want to hit these four things and feel that I've got something accomplished. My win after the morning is, did I put out some valuable content in that motivation piece? After that, then you get into the day. But those are my four daily non-negotiables. I can do it in as quick as 30 minutes. I can take 2 hours to do it. But at the end of the day, like, my time in the morning is essential to stacking those wins.
So similarly to morning habit, I do believe that evening habits are as important. our sort of wind down routine is very, very important. I, you know, essentially segment my day into three different tranches: my morning routine, my transition from work to family, and then my transition from family to bed. And that's sort of how I see my day in terms of my habit structure. And so I would love to talk to you about your wind down routine.
For the most part, it's a 2-hour landing. And so I look at the morning as your launch period where you need to get everything in order. Your intentions are set so you can have your perfect day. And then the evening is your landing. You're landing the rocket ship. And so everything I can do to land properly, I give myself a 2-hour timeout from everything in regards to social media, TV. I don't watch TV, but social media, computer, email, so that my body can actually decompress. 2 hours is a good amount of time frame so my circadian rhythm can readjust. And the 2-hour timeout from eating or drinking as well, so I really get into the evening, get good restorative sleep. Sleep is the best hack that any entrepreneur can do. We're not getting enough as a whole. And so I really try to prioritize the sleep. And then my evening time is connecting with the missus. Like, she moved in about 2 months ago. And so we are spending intentional time reading together, connecting on the day. We've got businesses we're launching, connecting on podcast ideas, but it is connected time, her and I, where there's no distractions. Fast pace, high speed individuals like you and I, and probably a lot of your listeners, you know, the relationship gets the scraps. And if I don't have that time, the 2-hour block every evening, especially Monday through Friday, we're working until 9 o'clock at night. And then the next thing we know, we're like, where's the loving time? Where's the snuggles? Where's the mid-afternoon excitement and sex? All that only happens when you prioritize the relationship. So myself, my evening wind down is 2 hours before bed. It is intentional. I want to be homebody. I want to be fully connected to my missus, to the house, to the pack. But that's my evening routine. Less structured because there's flexibility throughout the week. But as a whole, I follow those principles, not eating 2 hours before bed, not drinking, anything like that, so that I can get good and restorative sleep.
Just a quick question on that. Do you notice that food really impacts the time you stop eating really impacts your sleep?
100%. I rarely drink. Alcohol will completely negatively impact your sleep patterns. I track everything. I wear a Garmin watch, but I've been tracking it for a number of years. But if you get too close to bed, your rest and digest completely gets disrupted. And so you don't get into the right sleep pattern in regards to your deep sleep and your REM. I've tested, I just feel better. If I take that time out, I stay in a period of sleep a little bit longer. But yeah, that's a whole. And then plus, as we get older, man, we got to pee like 3 times throughout the night. And so I really try to pull back that drink and the liquid so it's not too close to bed.
3 habits that you do on a regular basis that don't have to do necessarily with your morning or evening routine, just 3 things that you do on a regular basis that really do keep you on the beam.
Cold shower every day, non-negotiable. I get in the shower, I turn that cold water on, and I let that icy water hit me. And I tell this to all the guys that I'm coaching through is, if you want to start becoming a better man, more patience. It's so easy to get to irritation, frustration, and anger. Patience is so needed in this world. But if you want to really practice your patience meter, start taking cold showers every day and then breathe. Because the first thing that's going to happen, your first time taking a cold shower, especially if you're on the East Coast and it's November, you're going to let that icy water hit you and say, fuck this. This is fucking bullshit. I can't fucking handle this. I'm getting the fuck out. I need to make it more comfortable. And how many times in life have we said, fuck this. I'm going to get the fuck out. I can't handle this. I need to do something more comfortable. And so we flip the switch, right? If we can breathe through that stress and chaos, we can teach our nervous system, we can teach our emotional body that we can truly control the environment. It's very similar to what we teach inside the project. Control your breath, control your body, control your reaction, and you will control everything in life. And so a cold shower is a daily non-negotiable. I don't negotiate with it. I just take a cold shower, no matter where it is, what I'm doing, where I'm traveling. I'll sometimes take a hot shower after I've taken a cold shower. My cold shower is a non-negotiable because I've got a bitch inside my brain like we all do, and I don't want him to win. I don't want him to win. And so 5 years ago, I started doing cold plunges in the pool. And I was like, you know what? This is something I can carry on forever. And so it's just a daily non-negotiable. I just don't not take cold showers. It makes me feel good. As soon as I get out, I'm like, 3 minutes later, I got an instant win. This is the easiest life hack it ever. You got a dopamine and serotonin rush. You got a little buzz going. You feel like a badass because you got out of cold shower. they're shrivelings, but it all grows back. So you're good there. But at the end of the day, man, that is one habit that I do not negotiate with. Second to that, my meditation, some form of meditation, active meditation throughout the day, taking time for gratitude and stillness, closing my eyes, connecting, thinking of a handful of things I'm grateful for, writing it down or expressing it to somebody that I care about. Gratitude is a daily non-negotiable habit because I'm a fucking asshole if I don't have it, if I don't practice that, if I don't work out.
What does a gratitude practice look like for you?
Typically, it's in my journal practice in the morning. Part of my meditation and mindset is I'm writing down one or two things I'm grateful for. A lot of times that will turn into a text. Our mentor, Badris Cooley, one of the other instructors for the project, he sends 3 gratitude texts per day out to people. That's such a great way to get that gratitude back to you, but just writing it down, expressing it. Sometimes that gratitude is a note to myself. I've been doing this practice for about 5 years called an in case of emergency. When I'm having a really, really good day, like a great day, I'm like, dude, I'm fucking winning. I'm on fire. I will write myself a thank you note. I will write myself a birthday card, and it doesn't have to be my birthday, but I'll find a card and I'll write in there. Whenever I'm grocery shopping, I always find a couple cards to bring back home, and I write it and I seal it. And on the outside and the envelope, I write in case of emergency, put the date on it. I've got this whole drawer of these. So when my days suck and I feel like dog shit and I've been dragging my balls through glass and I can't handle another day, I open up one of those cards, and I've got this cookie jar of like good things that I broke before. And so gratitude, man, it opens the door to everything. It really does. And so the cold shower keeps the bitch in check, lets them know that I'm on charge. The gratitude is essential so that I can always see more blessings in my life. And then fitness, man. Like, I don't miss a workout. Every single day I'm breaking a sweat. I'm doing something. I'm walking, moving my body, I'm dropping down, doing 10 pushups. I've had COVID, I feel like, 3 times now. And even during COVID, I still got outside, moved my body with intention. It's a non-negotiable for me. Even if the only thing I can do, I'm traveling for 16 hours, I'm at the airport, I'm doing burpees, I'm doing something to move my body. Fitness is a non-negotiable because I know that if I don't work out, it opens the door to all the old habits, all the old behaviors that I don't want to have anymore.
One habit that you've broken, how you broke it, and how that impacted your life.
One habit that I've broken is avoidance and passivity. I have been really trying to lean into assertiveness and being very decisive and intentional with what I want. And so when I notice the habit of wanting to avoid something, I give myself about a 60-second time frame to figure out, do I want to take it right now, or am I going to set and schedule a day to do it? Avoidance and passivity, I'd say, were one of my biggest bad habits, where I just didn't want to deal with something. So I would just avoid it. That check engine light on the car that's just like there for fucking 10,000 miles. You're like, I should get to it, but it's not really that big of a deal, but it's this open loop, right? It's this open loop. It's the laundry that doesn't get folded. It's, you know, the health check that you haven't done. You've been pushing off. Like, hey, you know what? I'll do it at another point. Like, all of these things are just open loops. And the more open loops you have, the less creativity, less assertiveness, less action, the less that God will give you more gifts. And so I've really been trying to break the habit of avoidance. And so when I notice that, hey, this is something that needs to be done, I set a time frame. This is when I'm going to get done. And I keep that promise to myself. I also notice that the more things I avoid, the more broken promises. And one of the biggest hacks and habits you'll ever do is honoring the promises you make to yourself. You honor the promise you make to yourself. You become a man of your word. You can truly get more blessing. Some people want more, but until you start taking care of what you've got, you will never, ever be given more.
This podcast is brought to you by, you guessed it, Creatures of Habit. Creatures of Habit is a lifestyle and wellness brand rooted in functional nutrition. The protagonist is a superhuman, incredibly delicious instant and overnight oatmeal blend developed to feed your body the most optimized blend of vitamins, minerals, and macros. With premium oats, 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D3, a probiotic, and digestive enzymes in each pouch, you will never have to think about what to eat for breakfast, pre-workout, or post-workout meal, or a healthy meal any time of the day in a pinch. Made 4 simple and convenient ways. 1, just add hot water. 2, overnight in the fridge. 3, add to a delicious smoothie, or simply put in the microwave. Take the stress out of worrying about what to eat for a healthy and delicious way to kickstart your day. And if you fast, this is the perfect meal one, as it delivers wellness, satiety, and delicious flavors. Pop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That's creaturesofhabit.com with a K, creaturesofhabit.com and put in promo code KOHPOD20 for 20% off your first order.
Dude, this is an amazing conversation. You know, I finish every podcast with a final question. You've come through a lot. You've done a lot. You're doing a lot. You've got a number of different businesses that you're a part of, that you've co-founded. You are insanely disciplined with your fitness and nutrition. You are such an awesome guy to watch when it comes to relationships and really, really focusing on those things. What is it all for, man? Why do you feel it necessary to do what you do on a daily basis, day in and day out? At the end of the day, what is it all for?
It's hard to put into words, Michael, but I would say that a life lived well is like a great canvas, a great piece of art, and it's indescribable. And I think all of our life's purpose is to create a masterpiece that takes all of the beauty, all of our perspective, everything that we've ever hoped and dreamed and done. And we paint this canvas, we paint this beautiful picture. So when someone else sees it, they just get the feeling. They get the feeling. Art doesn't use words. When you look at a great piece of art, you just recognize beauty. When you go out in nature, you recognize beauty. And I believe that it is my purpose to live an artful life. And it is my purpose to help other people live an artful life so that their masterpiece is something that is unmistakable, unrecognizable, that is totally unique and just catches you in a state of awe. And I want to live that way because it makes me feel good. I want to live that way because we only get one fucking life. I want to live that way because God's given me so many blessings. I want to live that way because I've had multiple second chances. I should be dead multiple times over. I want to live that way because I want to be an impact for my future kids. I want to live that way because it's the only way that you get to live forever. And I know that our souls do live forever. And so I want to embody that because I spent too many years not. And so the reason why I couldn't put it into a sentence other than I want to make art, man. I want to make a beautiful piece of fucking art on this planet.
That is a beautiful fucking answer, my friend. I love that. And where can we find you? Where can we follow along on your journey?
The Fit Beard on Instagram and the YouTube channel.
Aaron, I'm grateful to know you. I'm grateful to call you a friend. And I'll never forget that that experience, that 75 hours.
And in case you do forget it, we'll remind you.
This has been awesome, brother. I really appreciate you. And anybody who is listening, you should absolutely follow along with Aaron. If you're looking for some awesome opportunity to have, you know, if you're thinking about having a coach and you want somebody who's not going to just coach you on fitness and nutrition, but is also really going to impact your mindset, impact your future, impact your current life on a daily basis through fitness, faith, finances. And what's the last one?
Family, baby.
Check out Aaron's stuff because he is the fucking man and I'm super grateful to know him. Aaron, thank you, my man.
Thank you, brother.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review that will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam. Peace.